This morning our text is from James chapter 1, verse 1 through 11. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a follower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower fails, and the beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Amen. This scripture is written to Christian Jews. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This means that this word of God is for us. James is showing his humility in verse 1. He does not refer to his earthly relationship with Jesus. Here he played with Jesus. That was his stepbrother, his half-brother. He didn't play. He played with him. He did all kinds of things with him. But what does James say? He says he is a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how he puts Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is how we are to do it too. Now in our text, God and James are speaking to Christians who are not growing up. This book, the book of James, is about spiritual maturity. The greatest need in the church then and today is spiritual maturity. God is not talking about being sinless, as that is impossible. And we're not able to do that until Christ returns. Then we'll be like him, but not until then. He is talking about being a mature, grown-up Christian. That's what our text is about today. Verse 2 begins, count it all joy. God is telling us to rejoice in all circumstances. As it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, it says rejoice always. Our Heavenly Father, our Almighty God, wants us to rejoice in all things. That is not our nature. It's only by God that we can do that. This verse 2 begins, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. It's not our natural response, is it, when we have a trial or a tribulation or a problem, whatever it might be, to rejoice. But the Word of God says, count it all joy. We are to rejoice in trials. Why? First of all, the source of our trials is God. He wants to test us so we can grow to spiritual maturity. We should rejoice and count it joy that God is testing us. And what will work out in our lives?
When we go through a struggle, what happens? What's the result? If we really look at it, there's a result that we really learn something that God wants us to learn. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, God tested Abraham and told him to offer up his son Isaac as a burnt offering on Mount Moriah. Then we have in James chapter 2, 23, the result of this. It says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. Do you want to be a friend of God? Then believe him. Follow him. And rejoice in him. God wants us to rejoice. That's what he's saying to us. Count it all joy when you fall into various troubles. Secondly, it says in the scripture that trials build character. Verse 2 says, when you fall into various trials, it does not say if, it says when you fall into various trials. Every one of us are going to have trials. That is for certain. Third, it says the kind of trials we go through. They're various trials. They could be financial. They could be physical, like sickness. They can be spiritual, mental, social, etc. There could be lots of different kind of trials that we're going to have. I believe my sickness has brought me closer to God. The cancer I have now is my third different kind of cancer. But it's a daily cancer, one that's not curable, unless God performs a miracle. But I believe that God is using this cancer to mature me. I know more than ever that he's with me constantly. Because when I get up and it hurts, I know, well, God's there. It's moment by moment. I know I have a home in heaven. I have for a long time. But this cancer makes me think of God almost continually. God does not give us troubles or trials for trouble's sake. He always has an end in sight. You realize that? God always has a purpose. He has a purpose in our troubles and our trials. And he uses trials to bring blessings to us. For God gives us blessings here in our trials. It says in verse 3, knowing that testing of your faith produces patience. The testing of our faith will produce patience. God has a goal in mind. In James, it's speaking of the attitude of the heart toward trouble or trials. And joy is the result of our trouble or trials. Joy is. Trials are meaningless. Suffering is senseless. And testing is not rational unless there's a good purpose for them. Have you ever thought when you go through a struggle or a trial or tribulation, there's a purpose in mind? God has a purpose. He says in Romans 8:28, which is something we should never forget, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. When we are placed in the fires of hardship and tragedy and suffering, the attitude of faith should be that God has permitted it for a purpose. And he has a goal for us. We may not always understand God's goals or his purpose, but God knows best. And it's a test of faith. As it says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. We can see all the things around us and get so upset. But if we realize we walk by faith and not by what's going on, and that we have Christ there for us, we can get through anything. What are some of the purposes of testing of our faith? James says that testing is proof positive of genuine faith. When God tests you, that is proof positive of genuine faith. That's what the Word of God says. Peter says in 1 Peter verses 1 and 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9, here's what he says. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. God tests faith for a purpose, that our faith may be found to praise, honor, glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought of that? When Jesus returns, you'll be praising and honoring him and bringing glory to him. Our suffering is to produce patience. Verse 3 says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. We are to know that God is testing us. Testing works for us and not against us. The testing works for us and not against us. God always tests to bring out the best in us. Trials work for the believer and not against him. They're used to help us mature in Christ. Verse 4 puts it together. It says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. What the word perfect means here is mature. It is patience that will make you a full-grown, mature Christian. It is patience that will make you a full-grown, mature Christian. And God wants us to submit to him. If we submit to him, then he can accomplish his work in us. God wants his little children to be young adults and then mature Christians to grow up. It's interesting that the word patience here is found in the fruits of the Spirit. In the fruits of the Spirit, in Galatians 5:22, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and then it goes on, kindness, goodness. But one of the things that's so important is that when we know that God loves us and we can love him, we can have joy in our hearts. When we have that joy, we have a peace that passes all understanding. And when we have that peace, then we can have patience, knowing that God is at work. Whatever we struggle with, whatever trial we go through, whatever problem we have, God is at work in us. He wants us to develop patience so we can be a more mature and complete Christian. Have you ever thought of that? That's what this Word of God says. Let patience have its perfect work. Perfect means mature. That you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. It is so interesting that when we are impatient, we get away from God. We're to be patient. You will never be perfect or mature without having patience. You can't be a mature Christian without patience. And that's what God is doing, is wants to develop that in us. Some Christians never grow up. They might remain babies or young adults. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, it speaks of the need to grow up and having solid food instead of the milk of the Word. Paul wrote in Romans that patience is one of the results of being justified by faith. He says in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, "But we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." Our Almighty God has a purpose in all our tribulations and all our trials. Have you ever realized that? It's not something we're just to hurry through when we have a trial or trouble. God's got a purpose in store for us, that we can become mature and develop patience. God must send us trials so we can learn patience, which will produce hope in our lives. When we are grown up, we'll become a sweet, loving Christian. That's why patience is so very important. So we're not just reacting to things, that we can be patient and let God work. Trials bring endurance down here, and they bring blessings up in heaven. In fact, that's what verse 12 talks about, which we'll go through next sermon. Trials down here will bring endurance, and they bring blessings in heaven. 5, trials bring prayer. Verses 5 through 8, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given him." Wisdom relates to trials and relates to prayers in our life. We can handle trials by going to God in prayer. When we have a tribulation or problem going on, the first thing we need to do is go to God in prayer. We should not try to rush through it. We should not try to take care of it ourselves. We need to let God take care of it for us and ask Him for help. Verse 6 is, "Let him ask of faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." When we go to prayer, we need to believe God. We ask in faith. We do not need to be afraid. There's way too much fear today. God will give us more grace as it's needed, as it says in James 4, 6. The greatest enemy to answered prayer is unbelief. The greatest enemy to unanswered prayer is unbelief. When we pray, we're not sure whether God can take the care of this. It's not sure if God wants to hear this. So we're not sure. We're like a sea driven back and forth with doubting. God wants, when we pray, to believe He hears us. To believe Him and to believe that He can take care of it. It's so good to bring your request to God and see Him answer those requests. Because once you see Him answer those requests, what do? You can praise Him for it. You can praise Him for all that He's doing. But if we don't bring it to God, how can we praise Him? How can we see Him work? We can't. Verse 6 goes on and says, "For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." We may say we believe God, but then we need to try to work it out ourselves, rather than being patient and let God do it. That's why that wonderful verse, Psalm 46:10, says, be still and know that I'm God. We're to be patient, let God work. And realize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us and not ourselves. Yes, amen. Verse 7 says, "For let not the man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord." If you're going to try to work it out yourself, you're not going to receive it from Him. And verse 8, he says, "He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." That's our problem. Instead of giving it to God, we try to do it ourselves. We go up and down. Can God take care of this? No, maybe not. Maybe God doesn't. This is too small for God. It's not too big for God. We know that. But it's never too small for him either. God can take care of everything that's happening today. Everything. We just need to trust him and be patient. Whatever trials you're going through, God can take care of. Whether they're trials, emotional trials, mental trials, physical trials, whatever is happening, God can take care of it. God wants us to have a joyful attitude, to know and have understanding, to have a believing heart, and to surrender to him. If we don't surrender to him, we'll be more immature. In verse 9 it says, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation. You know, sometimes we may think we don't have as much as we should have. You know what? We have everything. In Ephesians 1:3 it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ we have everything. We don't realize all that God has given us. We have a peace that passes all understanding when we know Jesus Christ. A peace that passes all understanding. So in other words, we don't need to get so upset with what's happening in the world today. We can pray about it, give it to God. But we should have peace about what's happening because God is in control. God is in control. We know we have blessings today, and even death is coming someday. And that will be a blessing too. As Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul knew that when he died, it would be gain because he'd be with the Lord. And we need to realize we live for Christ today, but when we die, we are with him. It says, with the rich in his humiliation, because the fall of the feet will fade away, will pass away. What that all means is we're just to glory in Christ. We're to glory in him. And not in ourselves. We're to rejoice that we have a Savior who's going to save us for heaven today, and is going to help us to get there later on. You know, it says that God wants to bring all of us to full maturity. God wants us to bring us to full maturity so we can be complete Christians and be a sweet, loving example of Christ to others. When we have patience, it will change our whole attitude on life. Because we don't need to get excited about what's happening. We know that God's working everything out together for good. God has many tests for us, and we should be glad for that. Because he only tests and chastens his children. If you're not being tested today, there's something wrong. But when you're being tested, that's because you're a child of God. Our trials are proof that we are his children. God always has a purpose in his trials. That's what I want you to hold on to today. And he's going to bring it through to have a good ending. As it says in Romans 8:28, for we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. Every trial you're going through is that God is going to work it out for good. We bring praise and honor to him. God wants us to be complete Christians, having faith and patience. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Almighty God, we just thank you, Father, that you want us to be complete Christians. We thank you, Father, for how you're working in our lives. When you try us, when you test us, when you bring troubles to us and tribulations. You want us to turn to you and let you work in us. And you want us to have joy while we go through those situations. Father, we pray, God, that as we go through your times of testing, that you will allow us to have a spirit of joy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you love us. That you love us so much that you can test us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, today. I pray, God, you be with each one here today. Bless each one, Lord. And we pray for those who are not here today, too, that you would bless them and bring them back to us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.